Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
All right, we just went to the turn. Everybody used the restroom, washed their hands. We picked up a couple of glizzies, refilled the cooler with ice and beers. Time for the back nine here on WEEI Afternoons. Dan Ball, a.k.a. The Ball Game. Ted Johnson, 3-10 Super Bowl champion. And, of course, your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens here at the helm of the USS Afternoon Enterprise. Andy Hart has the day off, that son of a bitch.
You're not taking days off now.
Oh, I know.
He is a son of a bitch.
I love how Ted's really getting comfortable with the show and just giving it back as much as people sling it.
It is. No, Ted came in today super comfy.
Yeah.
Ted's in his zone today.
Too comfy, maybe. Too comfy.
Liz and I were having that conversation behind the glass when we entertain ourselves when you guys are doing your thing. And we were talking about how, like, all right, we're seeing the real Ted Johnson start to come out, and it's a freaking blast.
Oh, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
The weather is nice this weekend, Ted. Guys, we're on a 7-game win streak with the Red Sox. Football starts in earnest in less than 2 weeks with day one of training camp on July 23rd. We're leading the charge to make sprinkles free in the Commonwealth. There are good reasons why we should all be vibing today.
You are. Somebody you're leading the charge.
I'll
bringing world peace one sprinkle at a time.
It'll be like that final scene in Glory. I'll be running up the hill with the flag in hand, and I will happily die on that hill. Speaking of which, we actually might get into our sports hills that we'll happily die on later in today's show. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk. Football is nigh, friends, because it is the 4 o'clock hour. But first, we have some calls lined up at 617-779-7937. Owen has been kind enough to hang on for a bit, so why don't we take him first? Owen in Cambridge, how are you?
Hey, guys. I love your show.
Thank you. We love you.
Hey, thank you. I think you guys have been generally too soft on the Celtics. I think you guys have been, like, really soft on Stevens and Danny Ainge in general. I mean, I really think the expectation was a dynasty. You know, I think when he got the next picks, you know, those six first-round picks, I think, you know, that was a real tragedy in Boston sports. You know, I mean, to pick Kelly Olynyk over the Greek Freak, I know you can say everybody did that. Guys, but Danny Ainge's son, Austin, was the head of international trade, scouting at that point.
All right, thank you very much, Owen. I appreciate the call. Hold on. First of all, the national tragedy that was taking Kelly Olynyk, the clinic, over Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak, that we could legislate that all we want on a basketball podcast called Terrible Decisions That Were Made a Decade Ago.
And Owen,
I don't think that's for today, my friend. And by the way, I do think, Ted, that the Celtics went to several, if not more than I can even count on one hand, Eastern Conference Finals.
Can I count them for you?
Please do. And also won a championship, so to call what they did with those six first-round picks tragic would be, I feel like that would be a misappropriation of the word tragic.
Okay. You guys missed the best line, though. Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge has moved on to Utah owned. He's no longer.
He's been gone a while now.
Yeah, he hasn't been here for a while. So just giving you.
Owen's been sitting on that one for a while. Yeah. I appreciate the fact that today's the day, though, Ted. He got up the courage to call in finally.
Uh-huh. Since 2016, guys.
Yep.
Final or Eastern Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Semis, Eastern Conference Finals, first round, lost the finals, Eastern Conference Finals, won the finals, lost in the Eastern Conference Semis.
Yeah.
What a bunch of stiffs. What happened to the dynasty I was sold?
What more could we possibly bring? Yeah, sure. All right. Of a championship in addition to that.
Again,
I mean, there's
so that's some first world problem.
So dynasty drunk in this town because of what happened with you guys, Ted.
Yeah.
Winning three, having the nerve to take a decade off, and then winning three more.
Yeah.
It queered the standard and changed the game entirely in
probably
the city.
Probably so. But you know what? I like a town that kind of is now holds the bar really high. I mean, mm-hmm. that means there's full engagement. That helps everybody. Mm-hmm. If fans think that way, so I think it's okay. I think, you know what? Why not? Now we know what is achievable. Why not always try to make that as your goal?
All right. Well, speaking of which, the New England Patriots looking to return to form this season. As mentioned, they do start training camp in 12 days. We are just over, holy smokes, we are less than 2 months away. I think we're 55 days away from kickoff, Sunday, September 7th, 1 p.m. At the Razor, the Las Vegas Raiders, partly owned by Tom Brady, whose statue will be revealed August 8th. 2025.
Who we feel bad for on the show.
Who
apparently.
We feel terribly for because he has lost his way and is commiserating, drowning his sorrows in the arms of Sofia Vergara, Kate Hudson, Dakota Johnson, Sydney
Sweeney.
I wish
Sweeney. I was miserable.
I would
want anything to be that miserable.
Every morning I wake up and I just say, damn it, I wish I was Tom Brady miserable today.
Yep. Reals.
Yeah.
So anyway, football's around the corner. Quick question though, around the room. Of your four teams right now, as we take stock, all-star break-ish times always seem to be a good moment to like survey the landscape and say, which of the four teams do you think right now, just on the spot, guys, might be the closest to a title?
The Red Sox.
Wow.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
A fully confident vote right there.
It's kind of ironic that none are really in a fantastic spot. I think the Patriots are in a great spot to be significantly better. I think the Red Sox have more top-end talent and had more expectations to be a competitor in that kind of field versus the Bruins and Celtics, who are very much going through a gap year. So I'd go Red Sox with the ringing endorsement that I just gave.
Big Ted?
What was the question again?
Which of the four teams, just a spot question on the fly, which of the four teams would be potentially in your mind closest to a title?
I was like, okay, I didn't know exactly what you were asking. It's
tough, isn't it?
It's tough. I mean, I would
we're
say
maybe because of the things can bounce your way. You know, I feel like nature of baseball, you know, like you can just get pitchers that are hot. You almost want to say the Red Sox. You know, and that's what you just said, Dan, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean.
And again, it's not like a great gut feel. It's absolutely the blank.
And then I'd say probably the Celtics.
Yeah.
And I'm talking like for at least two years from now.
Yeah.
I just think the Patriots aren't close to that and the Bruins aren't. So to me, it would be Red Sox, Celtics, and then Patriots and then Bruins.
I think of the four teams, the one that could catch lightning in a bottle, step in it and find themselves – let's say the Diamondbacks a couple of years ago. Wow, how the hell did we end up in the World Series?
Right.
Or the Rangers, how did we end up in and win the World Series? Would be the Red Sox as well. I'm with you guys 100%. It is 2 years for the Celtics. God knows how long for the Bruins. And I'm not really sure, Ted, how long for the Patriots as well. While the rebuild takes place this year with a team, a roster of 90 heading into camp, 43 of which are brand new as well. And as we've been breaking down position groups, who's the strongest, who's the weakest, who's the best, what are our Drake May expectations, McDaniel's expectations, and so much more. There was an interesting piece that we came across today at NFL.com where they positioned who would be the easiest player for everybody who loves football to root for on every team. And I thought this was especially interesting considering yesterday's Football O'Clock dialogue, Ted, that NFL.com believes the easiest player for people outside of Patriots Nation to root for on the Pats this year will be the defensive lineman that you and I agreed to disagree on a little bit yesterday, Christian Barmore. Barmore, of course, coming back from the blood clot issue that kept him out for the majority of his 2024 season after he signed a 4-year, $92 million deal, mm-hmm. coming off that very hot end of 2023, where over an 8-game stretch, he had 13 tackles for loss, multiple pressures, and 8.5 sacks. Do you think that Barmore represents, I won't say likable figure, but like an interesting, compelling, if not sympathetic figure to other football fans? Like, hey, this guy was in a borderline mortal struggle, and now look, he's back playing football at a high level.
Maybe. It's possible. Yes, I don't know enough about the kid, partly because does he talk a lot? Does he have platforms here? Does he do a lot of community work? I don't know, you know, so there's, you know, I don't have that connection to Barmore like I might have maybe with other players, but your point is well taken.
Yeah.
And especially what I think is very, what people don't realize is blood clots, just because they get stopped one time doesn't mean they don't come back.
Right.
There's a very, you know, high risk of them coming back. So in that regard, easy guy to root for.
Easy to root for his story specifically.
That's it.
You read it on paper. You look at kind of the ups and downs of the career of the guy and understand the kind of personal struggles. And absolutely, you're going to want to follow along and see what goes on.
And you know, another thing, I tell you what I was impressed with. I don't know if you guys remember this, but remember he got pulled over early one night in Providence.
Yes.
Or I believe it was a traffic violation, speeding, yes, or something. And he, it was on video. He was talking back to the officers. He kind of was, you know, he called his mom. It was the whole thing. His statement that came a few days later apologizing to the Providence police, I thought was one of the best statements I've ever seen a player write. Yeah, I thought it was just worded perfectly. It sounded sincere. It sounded authentic. And that's,
did it sound like it came from him or that there was his voice in there?
If I had to guess, his mama's voice.
Oh, because I mean, don't forget, you heard her voice
right
in the background that night saying, so, he's on blood thinners.
But that's okay.
Gotta take it easy.
You know, my guess is mama has a big influence on him, and that was maybe she was part of that, which whatever. But so, look, I just, guys mess up all the time. How you handle after is what matters to me, and I just thought he handled that really well. But so let's go around and say who you're most looking forward to, or what was it? Who are you rooting for?
Well, I'm gonna kind of stay on brand because I'm always a sucker for something that fits in the Patriots offense, something I think they have desperately lacked and needed for the longest time. And I love a good undrafted free agent story. The living legend of Efton Chisholm III, future Patriots Hall of Famer. I'm rooting for this kid to make the team. I'm rooting for him to make an impact, and I'm rooting for him to become a thing around here because, A, the Patriots are always better with a pass-catching running back. Insert your Danny Woodhead, Shane Vereen, Kevin Falk story here about how important James White was in Super Bowls or how Shane Vereen could have been MVP of Super Bowl 49 here. But also, when you have the shifty little can get open in a phone booth or Italian sports car receiver that advance moves the chains and gets things going for the offense. And while that could be Pop Douglas, I'm not entirely sure what his role on the team is going to be this year. Is he just going to be the third down back? Or are they going to leave it up to a little kid drafted from Eastern Washington University, home of Kendrick Bourne, Cooper Kupp. Our friend Mega Donnellini did a great breakdown on him on WEI.com, spoke to the coaches. There to me is a story I can embrace. Everyone says you're too small, you don't belong, and this kid finds a way to make a team and get open everywhere he goes. One more hurdle to clear, Ted, and that would be making the Patriots 53.
That's a big one.
See,
that's a big hurdle.
That's a big Twinkie.
In lies, Ted, some of the beauty of watching, covering, and rooting for the Patriots. To 31 other fan bases in football, that kid's just a dime a dozen, you know, fringe roster player. Oh, undrafted free agent. Why should I care about that? For Patriots fans who have seen that type and makeup of player have infinite amounts of impacts on championship caliber teams, Patriots fans look at Efton Chisholm and go, that's our guy. Yeah. That's our Edelman. That's our Welker. That's our Amendola. That's our kind of guy.
And you know, I think what it's people that recognize that it's hard to play in this league. And if you start, the gun goes off, and most guys are all kind of have the starting gate, leave at the same time. Well, the undrafted guy is way behind the starters. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of room to catch up just to be considered, just to get the attention. And then once you get the attention, now you got to surpass expectations to even have a chance. So that is going to be an interesting story to follow. What about you, Daniel? Who's your who are you most rooting for?
There's a lot of interesting candidates because a lot of guys on this team seem to have unique backgrounds or, you know, maybe role players that are trying to carve out more of a niche. But this guy got talked about ad nauseum from essentially right when Jerod Mayo was fired to when the draft happened. And a lot of it was negative, and a lot of it was about a size of a certain body part, pause, that he cannot control. So mine is Will Campbell. The way that he ingratiated himself with fans, the way that he says he'll die for his quarterback, how emotional he got when he was drafted.
I appreciate you very much for saying that.
And I really don't want to see him fail because he's done everything right to this point. I know that, you know, it's been nothing more than the glorified underwear Olympics, but I think for what we've seen and what he said compared to what the conversation was during the draft process, people trying to find ways to pick him apart, I'm really pulling for the kid.
I like him fried potatoes.
Like, how can you not hear that in love?
in the Patriots commissary just the other day.
So Andy and I coming, we were flying back from the draft. We were on the flight to Chicago, and a group of probably like six kids behind us were flying on the same flight. They were all
great
there.
Great story.
Hey, let me finish.
Sorry, Ted. We had to get you at least once.
Come on, man. All right, good job, sis. You keep pumping out those.
Feeling himself because he had a good diss track earlier.
Good for him. They were there because of Will.
Yeah.
And they were all friends. They were some of his best friends that, you know, from LSU. And yeah. They said, "You're getting the best guy." Man. They all love him.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just look. We interviewed him that day too. There's a very high likability with that guy.
He's the kid I'm most excited about for sure. I just love it. Oh my god, so I love his personality. Yeah. Since the night he got drafted, Dan and I were here. We stayed late and we drafted him. And yeah, I just
sober.
He
too.
Just seems like he's going to be a bunch of fun, and I can't wait to watch him play.
And you know Mike Vrabel loves him, and you know his teammates already love him, and you know Drake May is going to depend on him. And as we discussed in yesterday's Football O'Clock segment as well, don't forget, we were talking about what we thought was the biggest weakness still on this team that needs to be addressed, and I was going in on the Patriots' offensive line, and I caught some flack for it, and I'm fine with it, because I'm telling you, so goes this line this year, Ted. As you could point out.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
In seasons past, for every team, this is such fundamental football. So goes this offensive line and this Patriots team. I think so goes the offense and so goes the season.
And that's what elevates you from the, you know, 7-8 range that you see a lot of more pessimistic fans at to the 9-10. We're talking about a team that has a chance to potentially make the playoffs. It really does. I'm glad you brought that up, because the offense running and the offensive line giving Drake May and the running backs a chance to at least take a quick breath before you make a play.
It's going to be a lot better.
100%. And I know this isn't an overly nuanced way to wrap my point, but there's just something about a meat and potatoes kid that lives to protect his quarterback that fires me up. I really look forward to it. So who's yours?
Okay. So I went with Efton Chisholm. So now I got Chisholm. You got Will Campbell. Stiz also said that. Teddy, who's your guy?
It's more than more obvious ones, but I don't think people even consider Drake May. Drake May. That's who I want to see do well. I don't know. I've been backing this kid. My favorite quarterbacks coming out of the draft were Jaden Daniels 1, Michael Penix 2, Drake May 3. And those were who I was
co-sign.
And so I was a little bit unsure about Drake until I saw him, and I saw him do things that people just had no appreciation for. I'm gonna give you an example of one play. You wouldn't even really notice it if you weren't really paying close attention to it. And he was flushed out to the right, to the left side, of the pocket. And he's trying to find, you know, someone open before he runs out of bounds. And he can't. And as the defender is closing in, he takes the ball, that he's a right-handed quarterback, he shifts it to his left hand as he's going out of bounds. Why is that important? He knew, here comes this defender from the right side, as he comes in, that he might fumble the football. So he moves the ball from his left hand to his right hand to protect it, to get it closer to out of bounds. I thought, that's a genius play. He has so many throws across his body that he makes on the run that are beautiful. I just think he's faster and more explosive than you think. And so I like a lot of what he brings to the table. So I'm kind of backing this guy. And so for me, it's seeing Drake May be the quarterback I think he's capable of being.
He puts it in his left hand.
There it is, right there. It was awesome.
So do you think, let me ask you this, do you think that perhaps Drake May would not be the answer from a lot of people in Pats Nation right now, because there's, I won't say dangerous, but there's this presumption that, hey, he's got more weapons now. Hey, it's his second year. They cleared the deck for him, and he's got Josh McDaniels. He's obviously going to improve this season.
I don't think so. I've yet to find a fan that's just 100% confident that he's the one. There's skepticism everywhere when it comes to him, and it's the record. It's 1-9. It's you know, and I can make excuses for him. I can say, you know, the defense let the team down last year, besides the offensive line, besides the wide receivers, besides the coaching. And those are all factors that go into him only being, you know, a 1-9 quarterback. But I think there's genius in his game, and I think there's an ability to be just a special player. So I don't put the losses as much on him as I think fans do. And so I think fans just are kind of in a wait-and-see mode.
Fans, do you happen to have a Patriots player that you in particular are pulling for the most? I want to see Efton Chisholm make the roster and make an impact. Dan and Stiz want to see Will Campbell succeed because of the draft stock and especially because of what kind of guy he is and how bad the Pats need him. And Ted is wrapping his big arms around Drake May and saying, now's your time to shine, kid. Lots of other candidates as well. You can call in and talk some Pats with us at 617-779-7937. By the way, guys, I thought you would enjoy this. From that NFL.com article, they believe that the New York Jets player that will be the most lovable across the NFL, Harrison Meavis, the rookie kicker. Why? Because he's the fattest kicker in the NFL, and he goes by the nickname the Thicker Kicker. Okay. There's an easy Jet to, if they're even a Patriots fan, could root for. When we come back, folks, the 4 o'clock football hour on WEI Afternoons continues. You wonder what kind of advice Drake May might be getting from people that have played the game and succeeded at the highest level. Maybe one day Tom Brady will get in his ear. Well, Tom Brady recently got in the ear of Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes revealed some of the incredible advice he got on life and playing football from the GOAT. We'll get into that, as well as some other football topics here in the 4 o'clock football hour on WEI Afternoons. But first, we got to make sure you're caught up on everything trending in sports. So here is the one and only Dan Ball.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Prudential Center, located in the heart of Back Bay. Features over 70 shops and eateries. Discovery at the center of it all. The Red Sox have won 7 games in a row. They beat the Tampa Bay Rays 4-3 at Fenway last night. Game 2 of that series is tonight. First pitch is at 7:10. Hunter Dobbins returns to the big leagues to start this evening. He'll face Drew Rasmussen on the mound. Some moves from earlier today, one Red Sox fans have certainly been waiting for. The team reinstated infielder Alex Bregman from the 10-day injured list. They also reinstated Dobbins from the 15-day injured list. The corresponding moves, the Red Sox optioned infielder David Hamilton and right-handed pitcher Isaiah Campbell to AAA Worcester following last night's game. Here is your lineup for tonight. Jaron Duran leads off in left, and it is Alex Bregman at third base. Masataki Yoshida is your DH with Carlos Narvaez your catcher. Willy Abreu in right. Trevor Story at short. Marcelo Meyer is at second. Abraham Toro at first. And then Seidon Rafaela is out in center field, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaws and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaws, perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with myself is tonight at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. The Celtics Summer League slate begins this afternoon. Tip-off was at 4 o'clock, and the game is currently being televised on NBA TV. The New England Revolution visit Austin FC on Saturday night. Kickoff is at 8:30, and the field has been set for the 2025 Home Run Derby in Atlanta. The 8 contestants are Ronald Acuna from the Braves, Byron Buxton from the Twins, Junior Caminero from the Rays, Jazz Chisholm from the Yankees, O'Neal Cruz from the Pirates, Cal Raleigh from the Mariners, Brent Rooker from the Athletics, and James Wood from the Washington Nationals. Headed to Fenway for the game, park in Prudential Center's garage for just $25 for night and weekend games. Located in the heart of Back Bay, shop, dine, and discover all Prudential Center has to offer, including the View Boston Observation Deck. Just a short walk over to Fenway from the Pru. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Afternoons Live at Fenway Park coming up right after this.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.